Hi, I'm Allison.
And I'm Larissa. We're two working moms
and real-life friends
on the journey to improving our family's health.
We're digging through the facts and fads around living a cleaner, greener lifestyle
with plenty of cocktails.
Whether you've taken the plunge like Larissa
or just a little crunchy curious like Allison, this podcast's for you.
Welcome to the Crunchy Cocktail Hour.
Happy Friday, guys. This is Larissa, and as always, I'm here with Allison.
Hi, everyone.
So I feel like the royal wedding is still on everyone's minds.
It's surely still on mine.
Totally. And the major talk of everything is, of course, Meghan Markle. And our friend Karen reached out to us a little bit frantic a couple weeks ago and said, oh my God, an article came out with all of Meghan Markle's products. Dissect this, please.
And of course, we couldn't resist the opportunity to do so. Because number one, I then get to talk more about the royal wedding and Larissa gets to dissect products.
Totally.
Two of our favorite things.
Totally. And so they're dubbing her. So this is about her everyday look versus the wedding look.
Although I think her wedding look stayed pretty true to her everyday look.
Agreed.
She stayed really natural.
Very, very natural. But they're dubbing it the Markle Sparkle.
I love it.
And very separately, by the way, when I went to Google Markle Sparkle the other day, it is also now a strain of marijuana.
Oh, good. I wonder what.
So FYI.
What differentiates that one?
So what are we drinking with today's topic?
So this is something called a strawberry berioska, but essentially it's a mix of strawberry and lime to be a bit of a strawberry lemonade for me. And then, of course, yours has a vodka. We had to give you the Russian twist.
Yes, please.
So cheers.
Cheers.
Markle Sparkle. So we have a sponsor today. Epic provides a huge digital library of more than 25,000 high-quality popular children's books, videos, quizzes, and even more for kids in grades K through 6, or about 12 and under.
So I have to tell you, Epic came in so handy a couple weekends ago. We were visiting my in-laws, and normally we literally have a suitcase just full of books. Mm-hmm. But instead, we just brought the iPad, and we were able to kind of have stories for nighttime.
Oh, that's so
smart. Or have, like, you know, we had like a couple of hours here and there of rain. And instead of the kids turning on the TV, we were able to just give them the iPad to read books instead of watch stupid YouTube videos. my kids are having so much fun with, you know, they have their own individual profiles. It's kind of giving them little achievements and things when they read books. So they don't read on their own yet. They're almost five. They don't read on their own yet, but they do the books that read to them.
Those are amazing.
Yeah. Or at night we read to them, but they're loving it. And so I'm loving it because it's having them read more.
That's the thing. They definitely are more targeted for the school grade or school aged kids. But for our preschoolers, honestly, I find that those read to me books are so useful. It's a nice way for them to interact with technology in a little bit more of a healthy way. What kid is not reaching for that iPad? And so just being able to give them something that they can do on there that feels a little bit better. The other thing I love is they have the books I grew up reading. So
yeah.
I don't know if you've found they have like the Berenstain Bears, they have the Magic School Bus and Ramona. And I remember loving those. So I'm super excited to read those to Claire.
I was actually talking to a neighbor the other day, and I think it was because she saw the offer that we have with Epic, which we'll talk about. But she actually told me that in our elementary school, they have Epic on all the iPads at school.
Oh, neat.
So in the elementary school. So it's clearly being used as an educational tool, which is awesome.
So then having it at home, you're just supplementing that learning.
Absolutely.
And I love that you can put in that profile. It knows their age, it knows their interests, and it tailors sort of the books that they recommend based on that. But being able to have those quizzes and videos that supplement some of that reading that they're doing in school, I think is really powerful. Epic is normally $7.99 a month, which when I consider how much I spend on Amazon books, seems like a pretty good deal already. But they're giving our listeners 2 full months free. That's 2 months of free books for your kids. And you know you're already either heading to the library or hitting that Amazon click to buy button. But you can get 2 full months for free. So visit getepic.com and enter code CRUNCHY when you sign up for your Epic subscription. And again, that's getepic.com. CRUNCHY for 2 months free of Epic. The royal wedding. I am so glad we're doing this topic. I feel like I'm thinking about this wedding almost as much as I thought about mine in the aftermath.
I mean, so we were at Lady Camp mm-hmm. the morning that the wedding was happening, and you and Karen were Wi-Fi desperate.
Well, and Karen, so our girlfriend Karen is married to a Brit, so she feels like, you know, she has to be watching this, and she brought all of her Union Jack merchandise. So she had her Union Jack mug, she had I think she had a shirt, she had a couple of other things, so she was decked out, she was ready to go. But something that worked out well for me is I wake up at the crack of dawn, so I woke up super early and was scrolling through all of the coverage while you guys were sleeping in. It was wonderful.
I wanted to see what she was wearing, and I find an interest in all that, but I wasn't dying to see it like live or anything like that.
For me, I wanted to see the coverage. I liked, there were so many pieces about her wedding that were unique and untraditional. And cause I think she kind of, she identifies as feminist, so I thought there'd be some interesting components, and there certainly were. But seeing what they're wearing, the different fascinators that people wear, and there's nothing like it. There's that pomp and circumstance that comes with a royal wedding that's just so unique and so fascinating. I don't know.
I did rewatch the clip of Prince Harry telling her she looked amazing and then biting his lip. Like,
so sweet.
So many times.
Well, the way they were looking at each other, you're just like, oh my gosh, they're so in love. Mm. Which, I mean, who isn't on a wedding day, to be fair?
I mean.
But, I mean, they just looked so in love. And it's just so lovely. So what did you think? So I've heard so many different opinions on the way that she was dressed and her makeup. What did you think?
I mean, I thought she just looked classic. I was a little bit surprised by the tiara. So I know, like, pre-royal wedding, I had read some article that showed a couple of the tiaras kind of in the, I don't know, the vault. Mm-hmm. And there was one that was kind of like a flower crown that went over the forehead, almost 20s, like in a little 20s. Bit like, yeah, like mm-hmm. 20s, or almost like, I didn't even read it as 20s. I almost like saw it as like a little bit hippie. And
like
so
bohemian.
Yeah. Like, and so I totally saw her in that. So I was surprised by the tiara, but I was not surprised by like how classic she looked. I saw the mass amount of coverage about her one hair being out of place that the internet was freaking out over.
I feel like it wasn't even actually out of place.
People were up in arms.
They should have seen my hair on my wedding. Talk about a hair out of place.
Losing their minds. But I thought she looked flawless.
I did too. I really liked that they went so simple for both her dress and her makeup. I thought that they just let her natural beauty shine because she's just stunning. And I liked that she looked like her. She looked like she was wearing almost no makeup. Just beautiful and glowing and happy. The one thing I've heard about her dress is a lot of people thought that it looked ill-fitting.
Oh.
Yeah.
And really?
I would say it did look a little bit bigger. It wasn't as fitted potentially as it could have been. And I partially...
Is that because you think she's pregnant?
Oh my God. Baby bump watch already on. No, I do not think she's pregnant. But I, you know, leading up to your wedding, if you're not marrying a prince, there's so much stress. There's so many things that go into it. And you just start kind of losing weight.
Plus, wedding dresses are super forgiving, don't you think?
They are, totally. But it could have been she just lost a little bit too much weight and they didn't account for it. Something could have happened. She had a smaller breakfast than... But
she's hiding her baby.
She's clearly hiding her baby.
You heard it here.
Larissa is starting royal rumors. I'm pretty sure somebody started that rumor. But I thought she just looked angelic. And then I thought what was really interesting was the shift to the night attire. So she had her church attire and then she had her after party attire and she completely redid her face of makeup. So she...
Oh, I didn't even notice.
Yeah, she did a heavier eye. She did kind of a more contoured look. And she also looked beautiful, but I loved that she left it simple for the church and the more traditional pieces. And then that dress. Oh, my God.
That dress was like like Pippa vibes, right? Like from the like every curve. So like, okay, so she's probably not pregnant. She's clearly not hiding anything in the second dress. No. I take it all back.
And but it was just a beautiful gown.
It was really, really beautiful.
And can we talk about how her and her mother almost look the exact same?
Oh my gosh, they totally do. I thought the same thing.
Yeah, it's they have the same face.
Bizarre.
It is bizarre. But her mother also looked beautiful. And I loved that there were some like untraditional pieces. So the few that I sort of picked up on, because obviously I'm not 100% versed in British wedding tradition.
No,
not a big piece of my repertoire. But I liked that she, since her dad was not able to be there, that she did walk herself halfway down the aisle and then had Charles pick up.
Can you imagine the guts that takes? Like, you're already a wreck, like, when you do have a parent or a loved one or whatever walking you down the aisle, but to, like royal wedding being taped, she's just like, here I go by myself.
And she looked totally cool under pressure. That's what I think. At least some kind of tremble or...
I mean, she is an actress, so I'm sure that helps. But still,
yeah.
That's some guts.
Yeah, that's some guts. We see you, Megan.
Some balls, in fact.
Yeah, we see you, girl. You own it. I loved the preacher that they had and that the fact that there was a gospel choir. I just feel like they did... They let the cultures meld in a really beautiful... traditional yet unique way.
And traditionally untraditional.
Traditionally untraditional. But she looked flawless, much as she always does. So what we want to talk about is how she gets that way.
Yes, on a day-to-day basis. So we are going off an article that we saw, and I can even link it in our show notes. But, you know, they talked about kind of her top products that she uses on a daily basis to get her, you know, her signature look. And of course, like I dove headfirst into the ingredients. I scanned the list and I was like, all right, there's some decent stuff in here. Some stuff that like I know is okay. And then some things that I've never used before. So I was like, maybe, because I know I've seen her kind of do things that I feel like, or like show things that are a little bit more natural in a natural slant. So I know she like reps a clothing line that's organic. I know I've seen her like on Instagram, like post Beauty Counter, which everybody knows is like a more, you know, greener, cleaner line.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Well, so she, I think I remember that Instagram post. It was like a little tote that I know like Beauty Counter sells. So clearly that's where she got it from. So I dove in. I will say it's very possible that the ingredients in Europe are a little bit different than the ingredients here. And I focused on the ingredients here because most of our audience is in the U.S. You and I are in the U.S. So
also, as of very recently, so was Meghan Markle.
Wait, they're here?
She was. She's American.
Oh, OK.
So I wonder if much of her products are from here.
But some of them, I will tell you, I felt like were like a little bit harder to find or not so common. But anyway.
Wait, she is American, right?
She is.
Okay. I was like, wait a second.
I know nothing.
But you know that.
I know she was on a show that I never watched.
I never watched it either.
So
she was also a girl, a Deal or No Deal girl.
Oh.
Do you remember that game show?
Yes, but I never.
She was a briefcase girl.
So I knew nothing of her when they got engaged. I saw a Facebook video of her where she talked about her experience of like how she became like an advocate for women and like women's rights and stuff. And she told about the story when she was younger and how she like wrote to Hillary Clinton, I want to say. And that's like all I knew of her. Like I had never heard of her before as an actress, but clearly she's doing something right. Somebody's heard of her.
Yeah, somebody had seen her. I actually had never heard of her before this either. I don't think we're alone there. But they were set up on a date, a blind date via friends.
Oh, okay. I didn't know any of that.
Fun fact. So every single girl is looking at our friends being like, what the heck? Like, you couldn't set me up with Harry?
No. Meant to be, clearly. So as we walk through these, you know, we do have from the article some thoughts about kind of why she uses each of these products. I can definitely tell you my thoughts on the ingredients. And then I think in some cases I was able to find where the product wasn't so great. I was able to find something comparable or something even a little bit more cost effective. You know, in some cases she's like very specific about the colors she uses. So I can tell you about things that are very comparable in terms of shade. But the one thing I found that I will tell you in general, the difficult part of all this is that, you know, I went on some of these sites to look at some of these products and the ingredients were right in front of me. And then I went on some sites and I had to Google and Google and Google again to find the ingredients, because they do have to put them on the box, but they do not have to put them on the site.
Yeah.
And when they don't want to put them on the site, there's a really great reason for that. It's because they don't want to reveal the ingredients to you, right? Because they're probably not super favorable.
So often if you had to really dig, did you find the ingredients were worse?
I don't know about worse, but they just weren't good.
Yeah.
They just weren't good. And I almost sometimes applaud the companies where they're like, we make stuff full of crap. Here's the crap that's in here.
But it works.
But I mean, like, but at least it gives the consumer the
choice.
Option, yeah. And the choice to say, like, here's what's in here. If you still want to use it, go ahead and do it. And I think you'll find that too as we walk through some of these products. Like, I think that you might find that I'm okay with that ingredient, or I might use this once a week and that's okay for me because I really like the way it works. And I think that's just a personal choice. But to make it so difficult to find without having to get to a store or buy the product online, I think it's just kind of ridiculous.
Yeah. Make it available. People want to know. I feel like more and more people are looking at labels and looking at ingredients, and making it difficult isn't going to make somebody more interested in your product.
Yeah. So these are kind of in no particular order. This is the order that they were in the article. So we'll dive in.
All right. So we can start in my favorite place because I love my mascara. It's actually both of our Desert Island product.
Totally.
She uses Dior Iconic Overcurl Mascara, which I've heard from so many different bloggers. And apparently it's amazing, but I've never tried it myself. Have you tried it?
No, it's got this like kind of like curved angle. I don't know, but I've not ever tried it.
I think it focuses on both the curling and lengthening, not so much volumizing as some. You know how some make your lashes like thicker?
Mm-hmm.
I think this is more of a lengthening and curling, but I've heard it works really, really well and doesn't have a lot of fallout.
So I can't comment on the performance, but I can tell you about the ingredients. So this was one where the ingredients were really hard to find. And I had to like do a deep Google for them. And so I found like some bloggers that ended up having like taken pictures of the box. And that's how I found the ingredients. So basically the first ingredient is water. And then several of the ingredients thereafter are preservatives. So they're not even like active ingredients for the products. They're preservative ingredients, which is like,
the main ingredients.
Yeah. To me is just like a red flag immediately. And I'll tell you too, and I really feel like we should do an episode on this. Looking at a product, like any product, it usually has a million ingredients on it. And people always ask me, they're like, how do you know what all these things are? And I say, I don't. But there's probably like five or so where I look for those first. And if they're in there at all, then I already know it's a no for me. And so for me in this one, it's the SLS, the sodium lauryl sulfate, which isn't in a lot of beauty products. I think it's most
and shampoos, right?
Yeah, so it's most well known for shampoos and toothpaste and things like that, things that suds up. Quite frankly, I'm not sure why it exists in things like mascara, but it can be very irritating to your skin. It can be a neurotoxin. It can give you like toxicity to your organs. And so for me, that's one of those, I see that and I'm out. But in addition to that, they do use a couple of pigments, a couple of colors that I don't find safe. One of the biggest ones being aluminum powder. And we've talked, I think, on many episodes where there's no aluminum kind of required or should be in your body. And, you know, through your hair follicles is one way that you can absorb things in. So
especially putting it on your eyes.
Right. Right. So not one for me.
Hmm. So what do you use instead?
So right now, I'll actually tell you, I use Tarte Lights Camera Lashes, and I actually really like it. But I am going to discontinue using it. I found like a couple ingredients in that I did not notice. And it's because Tarte has two mascaras. One is called Lights, Camera, Lashes, which I use, but they also have one called Lights, Camera, Lashes, which is what I thought I bought. I can't tell the difference.
That's so bizarre.
One is in a gold tube. One is in a purple tube. They literally say they do the exact same thing. I don't understand. But essentially, I bought the wrong one because of the thing in the names. But like, as I always tell people, I'm going to finish using the tube. This is not an emergency. I will finish using the tube and then I'll try the other one.
Now, so I know you have told me about Lights, Camera, Lashes before, and I had trouble finding it. So I wonder, because I think I could find the Lights, Camera, Lashes, but I couldn't find the Lights, Camera, Flashes. So if you can link to it,
yes,
I'll
for
get
sure.
That one.
Yeah. It should not be hard to find.
So I currently am using, I no longer using my Revlon, but that doesn't mean that
wait,
I made
wait,
an improvement.
Wait. The one that you said you'd never give up?
It doesn't mean I made an improvement.
Okay.
You still don't like these ingredients. I know you don't. That's why I'm
Oh, you did send this to me and I was like, you were like, look at this. And I was like, still the same.
Still stop using it.
I'm remembering this now.
So right now I'm using Benefit Better Than Sex. And actually I have on my list to try the Dior Overcurl. So, you know, me and the Duchess might use the same mascara here shortly.
Well, so just out of curiosity.
Even though you've now told me all the ingredients.
You're welcome. Enjoy the preservatives. Do you like the Benefit any more or less than the Holy Grail mascara that you've been using for 1,000 years?
I like it a lot, actually.
Okay.
I have less, what do we want to call it? Like
the crumblies?
The crumblies. Less crumblies with it. So I actually like it more.
Okay.
There you go. I've changed to something equal as bad. All right. So next we've got her concealer and she uses the YSL or Yves Saint Laurent. I'm not going to be able to say this word.
What?
Touche l'éclat.
I think it's just touche.
Touche éclat. This is why we don't speak French. We're terrible at it.
Nope.
But that's her concealer. And, you know, apparently she really picked it up because she was working such crazy hours on suits. And so helping to get rid of those under eye circles, which we all know quite well, especially as parents.
Yeah.
So what do you think about this one?
So I wrote like, no on this one.
All right. So that's a no.
So it has like two of my very offensive ingredients that are usually in the back of my head of like, does it have this in it? So one is parabens, which is a type of preservative. And, you know, parabens are usually... they're usually listed as like methyl paraben or like it'll be another word with the word paraben in it at the end. And so they stop kind of mold from growing or bacteria from growing. But they are very well known to be hormone disruptors. So just I stay away for anything that has a paraben in it. And the other thing is talc. So the talc is supposed to absorb moisture. It's supposed to prevent caking, which, of course, everybody has trouble with their under eye concealer. So it's great for doing that. But often talc is contaminated with asbestos.
Oh, great.
So here's the thing. There is cosmetic grade talc that, I don't know, is supposed to have removed any asbestos from the talc. But there is this whole manufacturing process to do that, which in itself is just bizarre to me. And then I think because asbestos kind of naturally develops, like it's a little bit just too much for me. So I don't use anything with talc at all.
So this is a no from Larissa.
So no. I did look up kind of what would be comparable. Is it comparable or comparable?
All right, so this is going to be another one. So there's a couple words that Larissa and I say differently. One is illustrative versus illustrative.
Illustrative, yeah, that's correct. So illustrative is correct.
Illustrative is also correct.
Illustrative.
Illustrative. And then apparently one is comparable.
Comparable.
Interesting. I'm going to say it my way.
I feel like I use both, but like in different scenarios. Anyway.
I think I just use comparable. Anyway, keep going.
Anyway, so one thing that I found kind of like across blogs is the Dream Lumi pen, which I believe you use, right?
I did. I actually don't really use a concealer right now. But I have used this and really like it.
Okay.
But
also parabens.
Good.
So
good.
Don't.
Okay.
But I've heard that it's comparable.
And price differential is insane. I think this is like $9 versus the $38 for the YSL.
Yeah. So that's like a huge price difference. What I have seen though, so the YSL one is, it almost looks like a clicky pen. So you click the bottom of it and then the product kind of comes out into a brush and then you would put it on. It actually looks exactly the same as the Beauty Counter concealer pen. It has the same like look and feel. I can't speak to whether or not the coverage is the same, but if you're looking for a product like that where you kind of, the product stays in the pen and comes out when you want to use it, just in terms of look and feel and how the product pushes out, you could look at the Beauty Counter concealer pen.
Okay.
And that one would be ingredient clean.
Yes. So lipsticks. I feel like she goes for a very matte, very neutral kind of lip, even on her wedding day. So she uses the Charlotte Tilbury Matte Revolution lipstick in Very Victoria, which beauty bloggers love Charlotte Tilbury, but I've never myself tried it.
Charlotte Tilbury is interesting because I've looked at a bunch of her products. Like she also has this dry mask technology, which is really cool. And it's kind of a mixed bag. Like some of her stuff is super clean and then some of her stuff is like super clean, except one ingredient, which I would say about the matte lipstick. So it's a little bit of like a smattering. Like I feel like she's more clean than others. Mm-hmm. Like it's like a fairly good choice. So I'm not quite sure why she hasn't like just tipped all the way over.
Yeah.
'Cause we're talking about like one ingredient in all of them.
Interesting. Yeah. It seems like it would just be a quick shift.
Yeah. So, the ingredient that is in this specific lipstick, and sometimes it can even change just by color. Like you would think that maybe it would just be the pigments and stuff, but sometimes just different lipsticks have different ingredients altogether. But they use an ingredient called BHT. It's a synthetic antioxidant, basically used to preserve the product. But it can be carcinogenic. It can be hormone disrupting. There's some studies around BHT and liver damage. So there's something particularly offensive to me about this because it's on your lips. So you're inherently ingesting it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So for me, not a great choice. But Bite Beauty, which is pretty green and clean. I tried to find a very comparable color in the Very Victoria. So, and they have a color called Pale Pink in their matte lip crayon. And it's very, very similar.
So I actually just started using Bite Beauty. So,
You got like a free sample or something,
I did,
right?
Yeah. So I spend way too much money at Sephora and get the birthday benefit. And so they had one that was Bite Beauty and I was so super excited about it. So it's two of their lipsticks and their lip scrub.
Okay.
And it's their formulation is fabulous.
You like it?
It goes on very smoothly.
Cool.
It's really it's a really nice matte look, which you know how I like matte. So I could see this being a pretty good dupe.
Love it. So check out Bite Beauty. Another one is Vapor Beauty. Their Siren lipstick has a color called Possess. And that's pretty similar too. But I will tell you, like, these are her specific colors for her specific complexion. And you know what I say about finding your perfect nude shade.
Have we said this on the podcast?
I think we might have.
So Larissa says the way to find your perfect nude shade of lipstick is your nipple color.
Yeah. Just pull your shirt down at Sephora and just test it out.
And discover, are you a brown or a pink?
Who knows?
She's not giving it up on the podcast, guys. So I'm excited about this next one because I also sometimes use this color. So for blush, Megan uses a NARS Orgasm, which is one of their, it's pretty pink. It's like a fairly bright pink. And it's just it's a beautiful shade. It actually looks good on a lot of different skin tones.
Yeah. I've actually heard a lot of things about this brush because like you said, it is pretty pink, but it seems to look very natural, like a flush almost, rather than like, oh, look, she's wearing a ton of blush.
Yes.
But
oh no,
bad news. Parabens and talc again.
Oh.
So for me, no way.
This is a no-no.
No. And, you know, I'm not like a blush connoisseur. So what I did find is, you know, finding that perfect pink that, again, is like more of a flush than like this bright kind of color pink was a little bit difficult. But there is this cosmetic company called Zooey, and it's all organic products. So they have a blush with a color melon, and it is almost identical.
Oh, nice.
Almost identical. So I can't speak to how it feels, but maybe you'll want to give it a try if, like, you're a big fan of the NARS and see if that's a good one for you.
Yeah, I do like the NARS. I haven't used it in a while. I just have one of their palettes. I'm using Benefit Dandelion now, which, again, is that sort of rosy flush that looks good on a lot of people, but it's a little bit paler for me. And I don't know about ingredients. So Larissa can tell me to stop using it.
I feel like I must have looked at this one in our makeup episode, so maybe we'll go back.
Okay.
And see whether I gave you the thumbs up, thumbs down on
it. So you haven't tried the Zooey. What do you use?
Right now I'm using like a Beauty Counter blush set. They have this palette that's kind of like, it's like a half bronzer, half pale pink kind of blush. And so I just like smush the two together. You know me, I'm not like a crazy makeup person. So that works for me.
Well, speaking of crazy makeup person, ready? Megan uses two different eyeliners.
This is just bananas.
This
to
blows
me.
My mind. So she uses one eyeliner for the top and one for the bottom. Right?
But just like why?
It just seems like a lot to me. It seems like a lot to me as a makeup person, but I also don't wear eyeliner ever.
The only time I hate the bottom of my eyes being lined. Like, I feel like there's just like things where like a makeup artist will do something, and you just feel like you look like a completely different person. Yes. And so unlike you. For me, that's lining under my eye. I will maybe sometimes line my top lid, but I actually do it with eyeshadow.
I do the same with like an angled brush.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So the idea of lining every day or lining with two different kinds is very confusing to me.
I agree. So the two that she uses, one is the Chanel Style U Waterproof Long Lasting Eyeliner in Cassis, and that's the upper line. And then for her lower line, she uses a brown shade with the MAC Eye Kohl Eyeliner in Teddy. So both like pretty pricey products, but the darker on the bottom, I think, just to kind of open her eye, and then the brown to kind of accentuate her eye color.
Why can't she just open her eyes?
Well, she has big, beautiful eyes, too. So, well, or maybe I'm just looking at her beautiful eyeliner. But it just seems it's like two different eyeliners. Maybe it's just because we're coming from a place of not using eyeliners. But
maybe.
Like,
I know people are. Some people are like super dedicated with eyeliner. So I will say I don't love either of these. The MAC Kohl, I know it's pretty popular. For me, the biggest thing is that it has some of those unsafe pigments, the same ones that I just talked about a little bit ago. It does have aluminum powder. The other one is, I can't pronounce it well, but it's ammonium ferrocyanide.
I know that sounds bad.
It sounds bad. The second word sounds bad. But it's ferrocyanide is essentially like an inorganic salt, but it can be toxic to your internal system. So it just, again, it's like right near kind of the inner part of your face, right? Like it will get inside your eyes and on your eyeball. And I don't, no, thank you.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. And then in terms of the
Chanel.
The Chanel one that she uses on the upper liner, it has some of those unsafe pigments as well. And it actually has some pigments in that specific liner that are specifically not allowed in lip pigments, but they're allowed in eye pigments. And for me, like, if I can't have it on my mouth, why can I have it on my eyes?
Yeah, that makes no sense.
That's one thing. And then the other thing is silicones in products. So I think this is becoming a lot more of a hot button issue, but it has a silicone-based product in it. Silicone helps make things softer, so that would make sense with a pencil, right? So that it's kind of more smooth when you put it on. But there's at least a couple of studies that have been found already that
in mice that have shown that even small amounts of particular silicones can actually create tumors.
Oh, geez.
So, like, for me, if I had to pick between the two, like, you know, go for the MAC Kohl and use that on both your top and bottom lid. But the Chanel one, I just really would stay away from.
Another reason to stay away? It's $33.
Like, why? I don't even understand why pencil. The other one is $18. It's a pencil. Use a kid's crayon. I don't know.
Actually, did you see that Crayola just came out with a makeup line?
Stop.
And they're beautiful, bright Crayola colors.
No.
I'm super excited. I'll let you know. I'll report back.
So, just don't be ridiculous.
I know. So the next one is primer. And she, again, uses one that I've heard a lot about. She must follow beauty bloggers or just have a beauty staff at her disposal.
Well, she also gets her makeup done, I think, on the regular. And then she finds, like, cult products she likes.
I'm sure. But this one is Laura Mercier Foundation Primer in Radiance. And I have a couple of Laura Mercier products. They're a little bit on the higher end, but they are beautiful products. And you're about to tell me why I shouldn't wear them.
Yeah, so this one's interesting, too, because she kind of talks about that she doesn't really wear foundation on a daily basis, that she actually, you know, normally you think you put on primer because you're about to put foundation on. But I think because this has, like, a little bit of kind of this illuminating glow, she actually just sometimes wears this, like, on spots on her face alone. The big problem for me is that this product contains retinol palmitate, which retinol palmitate as a product is essentially vitamin A in a synthetic form. And it's very moisturizing, which makes a ton of sense in a product like this. But there's FDA actually back studies that talk about retinol palmitate in sunlight can speed the development of skin tumors. Which we've talked about, I feel like, in the sun care episode, that, like, in a lot of the chemical sunscreens, they have retinol palmitate, and that's why it's so easily smoothed onto your skin. And everyone complains about the physical sunscreens not, like, applying easily. But, you know, that's a big problem for me because, of course, you're putting this on and you're going out into the sun. Mm-hmm.
A little sidebar here. After our sunscreen episode, my husband went golfing. He's a big golfer. And he was asking me where his sunscreen was. And he was like, I need the sports stuff because it's going to stay on. And I ended up giving him a physical sunscreen, Blue Lizard Sport. And he had never used it before. He was used to a chemical sunscreen. So poured out the same amount he normally would.
Oh, no.
He was white from head to toe. Just completely white.
He
liked it and he didn't get burnt. So apparently he was, like, rubbing it on everybody else in his party, just trying to get rid of it. But so what would you recommend for a primer?
So I'll also tell you that what I read about this specific primer is that it's meant for oily skin, which apparently she does have. And in order to kind of the opposite of oily, give you a more matte look, which I know you really love. So it won't work for all skin types anyway. What I personally use is Smashbox Iconic Photo Finish, also gives you a mattifying look, but it does not have kind of the coloring in it that would give you, you know, this illuminating glow that she says that the Laura Mercier does. But what I do if I want kind of more of a glow and I prefer a dewy look is I do sometimes use the Beauty Counter Skin Dew. But more often than not, I will use RMS Living Luminizer. It comes in this just, like, tiny tin, and I just put it in spots on my face. Like, I'll put it down my nose, on the insides of my eyes, like at the top of my lip, like just little spots to give your face a glow, or top of my cheekbones.
Nice. Almost like a highlighter.
Yes, exactly. But it just kind of gives you that little bit of, like, you know, when you turn your head in the right spots. So that's what I use. What about you?
So I used to use a primer really consistently, and I stopped because I got this, I think I mentioned it in our sunscreen episode, this Kula tinted sunscreen, and it has that same mattifying feel as I used to use, I think it was called, no, it wasn't Photo Finish is yours. I'm blanking. I can look back at our makeup episode and post it.
Well, I know you used Professional.
That's it.
Is that it? Okay.
This gives me the exact same feel. But it's a sunscreen.
I'm going to try that next, I think.
I just love it. So that's what I'm using as my primer right now.
That's fantastic.
And it has that little bit of tint. So often I'll just wear that.
So I think this is pretty comparable to the price of the La Mercier. So La Mercier is around $33. How much is like the cooler? Around $30 or so?
Oh, goodness. I think so. I'd have to look it back
up. But it's nice because it doubles as the sun protection too. So you don't need a second product for that.
And it lasts. It really spreads well because it is sort of mattifying. I'm really enjoying it.
Okay. Very cool.
So she uses, this is obviously not a product that I use. It seems awfully fancy, but it's a Wella Oil Reflections Luminous Smoothing Oil. Have you heard of this?
No.
It sounds like just like a facial oil, like our
marula
oil.
No, she actually, I believe, uses this for her hair.
Oh.
To like get like the wispies out. And then I think she sometimes uses this as a body oil as well. So
oh, interesting.
Nothing face related. But when I looked into ingredients, I found fragrance, which, you know, is like one of my big offenders, because the reality is there could be hundreds of ingredients in that and they don't have to reveal that to you. And you just never know what that is. And often fragrance includes phthalates, which we've talked about before, which essentially they're plasticizers and then they bond that fragrance to your skin. Very unhealthy. So fragrance is absolutely a no for me. And then it also has some of those offending silicone ingredients in it that I also would not recommend. So for me, I use kind of two things. Like I would recommend, like if we're talking about hair, I'm a big fan of the Acura Marula Oil. I'm a big fan of Marula Oil, but I'm a big fan of Acura specifically because they make a very affordable, like it's somewhere between like $8 and $11.
Oh, yeah. And you can get it on Amazon.
Yeah. So, and you can use that on your face. You can use it on dry spots on your body. And you can absolutely use a little bit on your hands for like the ends of your hair. So that would be definitely my choice.
Yeah. And I don't use anything like this. I do use a body oil, which we can link to, but nothing really on my hair. I haven't tried the marula oil. Maybe I'll give that a go.
You definitely just want to apply it to the tips of your hair. Like, I feel like if you put it like towards the top, like near your scalp, you're going to get like a greasy look. But towards the bottom to kind of keep your ends healthy, I think is really great. And just kind of like almost like after you're done with your product.
Yeah. Instead of wiping it off. That makes sense. So I thought this was interesting that she uses an eyelash conditioner. I mean, we're hearing all about people using these lash growth products that are not good for you. But she uses Revitalash Advanced Eyelash Conditioner. So I'm interested to hear, is this good or is this bad?
So this appears to be okay. It looks like it had a ton of offensive ingredients in it before. It looks like there was a lawsuit.
Okay.
And then it looks like some of them came out because I think what was happening was, do you remember Latisse?
Yes.
The one that was so
changing people's eye color.
Well, it was changing. And I think this can still happen. But I think the whole discussion was around the fact that Latisse was labeled a drug. And for whatever reason, Revitalash was not.
Okay.
And then there was a lawsuit because they were like, how come we have to abide by all these FDA laws as a drug and you don't have to because, you know, cosmetic products don't have to pass anything before they go on market.
Yeah.
And so I think what happened is they essentially took out a bunch of ingredients in order to keep their classification as just a cosmetic product.
Interesting.
So it appears it's okay. For me, I still think the best thing ever is just a collagen supplement because literally in just a matter of weeks, you will see your eyelashes grow, your hair on your head grow, like your nails will grow. I haven't talked to anyone that hasn't tried that consistently and not seen a difference. And it's good for your gut too. There's like other sideline benefits.
Oh yeah.
And way cheaper too, because the Revitalash, I think like at its cheapest and its smallest quantity is like $55, but goes up to like $150.
Oh, geez.
So way cheaper to kind of go with a collagen.
Just go with the collagen. That's the crunchy cocktail hour recommendation. So you must have loved this. She uses Dr. Bronner's body wash. But so it sounds like she likes two of the scents, lavender and almond.
Yeah. And I love like all the scents, and I like them for different reasons too, because I feel like lavender is really calming, but I actually don't ever have the lavender one in my house. I usually have the peppermint, which I feel like is very, it's like invigorating and kind of like really wakes you up. Don't get it in the wrong spots. It's a little tingly. And I also really like the tea tree because I find like it's great for breakouts, body breakouts, face breakouts. And I actually really enjoy the smell of tea tree, but that's me. But they have a million different kinds of scents. And of course, Dr. Bronner's is totally safe.
And I know we've talked about this before. So I tried the rose and I loved the scent, but I found it too drying.
Yeah. So what do you use now? Like for a body wash?
I just use Aveeno body wash.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did I look at that for you?
You did.
Was it bad?
You didn't asterisk it, I don't think. Didn't.
There was something I didn't
I think
like.
I'm probably going to switch to Dove here shortly because Dove is what I use for my daughter right now. And it's done wonders for her skin, so I might give that a go. But okay. Dr. Bronner's is just a little drying for me. But I have a ton of it, so I need to figure out my uses.
You can clean with it?
You can do anything with Dr. Bronner's.
You can wash your hair with it, although I don't recommend that. I think that's pretty abrasive for your hair.
Yeah, I don't think I'd want that.
But anyway, look on the side of the bottle. There's like 1,000 things you can do with it.
Yeah, I guess they all are. They're listed, right?
Yeah.
So for her body lotion, she uses Nivea Skin Firming Hydration, which is a total pharmacy product.
You can have Nivea anywhere. It doesn't get any more basic than that. Parabens and fragrance. So okay. No.
All right.
So no. So I personally at home, I have a Cure brand lotions. The very first one I ever bought actually was a scent-free one, and I don't recommend it. It has a scent, and it smells like clay.
Just not pleasant.
I don't like it. But then I tried another one, which I believe is called Energizing, and I think it's not even called that anymore because they changed the formula a little bit. They just had like a big rebrand of their scents and their bottles and everything. So I think they maybe changed the formula, but all the other scents I have tried, I've really loved. So I have that on hand as a body lotion. And then I'm also a big fan of Shea Moisture body oils. They have like this Nivea one that she uses is specifically like skin firming. And the Shea Moisture ones have different ones for different things. There's ones like for firming. There's ones for elasticity. You know, there's a bunch of different ones. And I find them to be... if I could explain it as like a dry oil, so you feel like
oily.
Yeah. Like it feels like there's a product on your skin, but you don't feel like you can't like put clothes on top or like you can't climb in bed because you gotta like slide off. So those would be my recommendations. What are you using?
Well, now I'm going to try those Shea Moisture oils because I use currently like a coconut oil, spray, which I really like because it's really convenient for when you get out of the shower. And then I also use Aveeno body lotion. And I think both of those had like one or two things I'm not 100% comfortable with. So I might just give something else a go, but not the Nivea, obviously.
Yeah, pass on that one.
So for a hair mask, she used Kerastase. I'm going to butcher that.
I think it's Kerastase.
Kerastase, Nutritive Oleo Relax and Anti-Frizz Mask.
It's an entirely too long title.
It is.
So it has parabens in it. So for me right away, I don't care what else is in it. Like I saw that ingredient and I didn't even look any further.
Parabens are just your ultimate no.
It's just one of those things. I think, you know, if I like listed them off the bat, it would be silicones, fragrance, parabens, phthalates, and the retinol palmitate are probably like my top five. And I'm sure there's others, but again,
we should list those. I think
we should. I think we should do an episode on those and maybe like get into the nitty gritty of those. But I know like how hard it is to look at all these ingredients and you're like, I don't know what any of these mean. But if you had kind of a short list of, well, how about these?
Just like, avoid these things.
Just avoid these things. That would make things a lot easier for folks, I think.
Yeah, maybe we can do like something quick that people can just snap and keep on their phone.
Yeah. So I'm not sure about kind of anything comparable to this. I don't often do hair masks, so
me neither.
I don't know. Like I feel like maybe I sometimes will do like a deep condition, meaning like I leave conditioner in my hair a really long time, or I'll put in like a leave-in afterwards or something like that. But I don't often do. I mean, I'll like smush an avocado on my head, like
every once in a while.
Yeah, I don't do any kind of hair masks. But if you have a clean one that you like, maybe leave us a note on social media and let us know what you use.
There's definitely some clean ones out there. And I also think that, you know, hers happens to be antifrizz, but it really like is all about kind of what hair you have. Because mm-hmm. I looked into some options for clean hair masks, but you know, there's ones for curl, there's ones for frizz, there's ones for shine. It's kind of like, well, what do you want?
Yeah.
Want all the things, your poison. But still.
So for her face powder, she uses one that I have used, Makeup Forever HD powder. And this, it's a really translucent powder that just kind of gives you a matte look. So when you're, you know, middle of the day, it's a good refresher. I really recommend this one for brides. But you're going to tell me why I shouldn't.
Uh-huh. So parabens, fragrance, and silicone.
So a lot of things.
Three of my five top offenders.
All right. Which we use instead?
So I can tell you what I use, which is Hint Beauty has a what they call like a flawless finish translucent powder. I got it in one of my Detox Market boxes and I really love it. I don't know how it compares to this one. So maybe you'll try it for me and tell me the difference between the two. Is the HD powder a loose powder or is it kind
it's
of
compact.
Like
an, yeah.
Okay, it's compact. Powder. Okay. The other mine is a loose powder. So I don't know what the difference might be.
I would use a loose powder more as a setting powder, whereas this is definitely just like something to finish your look.
What's the difference between that and a setting powder? It sounds same thing to me.
A setting powder, I would use, like, I bake under my... Did we talk about this in the makeup episode? I put a lot of loose powder.
Are you using Kim Kardashian terms on me now?
No, I'm using makeup terms on you now.
Bake is not a Kim Kardashian term?
I don't know any Kim Kardashian terms.
Bake,
I do not.
Brighten something.
I don't pay attention to Kim Kardashian. I'm sorry.
Okay, just checking.
Very intentionally, actually. But so I use it to kind of, I put it under my eyes, let it sit there while I do other things and then brush it away.
Okay.
But like a compact powder I would just use as like all over my face as a brush to kind of finish off my look.
Wait, you put on the powder and then you brush it away?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm doing it
wrong.
So
I pack it on anywhere that I would crease. So underneath my eyes, the corners of my nose, and around my mouth. And I just let it sit there. So I look completely crazy because I just have makeup sitting on my face while I'm doing other things.
Wait,
and
it's white. I'm like losing my mind. I'm probably using it wrong.
Well, I feel like this is a relative.
I want to bake.
You should try it. So that's what I use my Laura Mercier setting powder for. And it's a loose powder. I will take a picture of myself with my crazy baked face and send
love
it to you.
Okay. And then I will reenact it.
Okay. It'll be great.
This is going to be
You might actually really like it because so I feel pretty. Like when I do bake versus when I don't, my makeup lasts longer.
Why are you saying that to me so seriously? When I do bake versus when I don't bake.
Apparently it's a Kim Kardashian term. Well, I'll stop using it. All right. So next, I don't even know what this is. A Tatcha rice enzyme powder.
So Tatcha is a brand. It's a clean beauty brand.
Okay.
I've
heard of them. They have beautiful packaging.
Yes.
Right.
Beautiful
green
packaging.
And gold and just beautiful.
Yes, exactly. And they're very ingredient safe. So the enzyme powder, I guess, is a kind of foaming exfoliant. I don't think it is a physical exfoliant, meaning you actually rub it on your skin versus like a chemical exfoliant. But I think it's just kind of a very, very subtle light exfoliation.
Okay.
The ingredients are super clean, super safe. It's $65. So, I mean, it is an investment and, you know, I don't know if a little goes a long way, but I don't think you get a ton for $65. So, go for it.
If you want to.
From an ingredient perspective, you totally can.
Also, I gasp at $65 and I think about what I spend on SkinCeuticals.
Right.
So it's not that bad, let's be honest.
Totally.
So for foundation, she uses Chanel Sublimage La Tint Cream Foundation. And I thought what was sweet about what she said about it was that she doesn't want to cover her freckles. And you and I have talked at length about how much we love freckles.
Do you see this giant freckle on the end of my nose?
I can't from here. It's too dark.
Oh, I have a giant, like, enormous freckle.
The freckles are adorable.
Every time I get my makeup done, I see them spend a ridiculous amount of time on the end of my nose, like, pecking at it, trying to hide it. And I'm like, you can't.
It does not cover.
It's my witch freckle. Leave it alone.
Witch freckle. Oh, my goodness. But so she says she just kind of does this out on, as a wash over her freckles so it doesn't cover, which is so sweet.
I can't even talk about this.
Because of the price?
It's $135
for it's Chanel. Chanel is an expensive makeup brand.
I don't care. It is $135 for a bunch of unsafe pigments and fragrance. Who knows what's in it? No.
Can I tell you, in high school, I would buy like all of the drugstore makeup, but I once bought myself this little, it was like a black eyeshadow that you could use as eyeliner or like for smoky eye from Chanel. Cost a fortune, I'm sure. But I kept it way longer than I should have because of how stinking proud of. I think I threw it away after I was married and I got it in high school.
Better have like some gold flakes in it. For $135. And like, you know, you're not getting like an 8 ounce.
No.
You're getting like a 2 ounce.
I know. Well, and foundation is one of those things you have to replace pretty frequently.
It doesn't last very long. So
yeah, that seems insane. All right. So what do you recommend?
I don't know. I got nothing. This is like, I can tell you what I use, but like, I don't know what this magical foundation does.
It could be that it's not magical at all. And I think we both use the Beauty Counter Tint Skin.
Yeah. But I'll actually tell you, I don't often use foundation. Like on a regular day, I'm not really putting foundation on.
I'm using the Tint Skin because I find that it's not too much. But I have to tell you, I have drastically, and I did this with my first as well, drastically reduced my makeup routine while pregnant. I wear makeup far less.
That's interesting. And I feel like I've added more products that are different than the ones that I was using before. And now
weird?
I want to bake.
No, you should try. I honestly, like, it was a game changer for me. Makes my makeup last so much longer.
Can we have like a makeup party?
Ooh, I love this idea. Yes, we can. So for a lip scrub, she uses the Fresh Sugar Advanced Therapy Lip Treatment with SPF 15.
So I think this is one that you were looking into at some point, too. Like a fresh brand.
It is. Is it a scrub or is it just like a conditioner?
It's just like a conditioner.
Okay.
That's got an SPF in it. So this one has that ingredient BHT that we talked about a little ways ago. It's a synthetic antioxidant. And again, like can be a carcinogen, can be hormone disrupting. Again, I am more sensitive to it because it's on your lips. You're going to ingest it. So I'm just not super into that. But I will tell you kind of two things I use. One is the Cocokind Matcha Stick.
Okay.
None of the products I'm going to tell you about have an SPF in it. So if you feel like that's something that you want for your lips, you know, you can get some kind of stick with an SPF. But the Matcha Stick, I like for a couple of reasons. I also use it under my eyes in the morning, but that's besides the point. So it's a coconut oil base, which I feel like keeps on your lips. Like, I don't know if some people might not like the texture of it because it's a little bit waxy, but I find especially overnight when you don't, like, you really want to moisturize your lips and you don't want it to rub off, like, it's going to stay on really, really well.
I hate that waxy feel.
So maybe not for you. But the other thing I would really recommend that I had a chance to try is Stacked Skincare. You know, they make the Derma Roller that I love so much. They got Lip Peel. So here's the thing. Like, I think we don't often think about, like, we exfoliate our face and, like, sometimes we exfoliate our lips. But sometime you need to actually, like, get the dead skin off rather than just continually put moisture on it. And this has like a bunch of different safe acids in it. So you kind of roll it on your lips and then you let it dry. It's a little bit difficult because it doesn't taste good and your lips get like a little bit dry. So you want to lick it. But if you use it in the evening and you go to sleep, like it makes such a difference in the morning.
Interesting.
So it doesn't taste good. You have to try not to lick your lips, but like very, very effective.
So I kind of thought this was more of a lip scrub, like exfoliator type thing. So I use the Bite Beauty lip scrub, which I got from that kit and like. And then I just exfoliate with a toothbrush.
Okay. Often. I do the same. I do with the toothbrush. I do it with my derma roller.
Oh, neat.
Is the Bite Beauty one, is it like a pretty coarse scrub?
Yeah, it's a scrub. Okay. Yeah, it's a good scrub.
Very nice. Neat.
So that's our Markle Sparkle.
I mean, so I think the article reported that kind of all in all, like all these products put together is something like 600 euro.
That in terms of routine. Me.
But you know what? At first, I was kind of like put off by the cost. And then I thought, is that so off in terms of like how many products you have as a whole?
Because this was body, face.
Exactly.
I guess.
And I'm sure this isn't all that she has. These are kind of like her top favorites.
Yeah. And she's probably not doing all of these every. She's not doing a hair mask every day.
No.
Or a lips like treatment every day. But
yeah. And that's something to think about, too. It's like, you know, how many products are you using that you're like replacing every 3 to 6 months? Or like how many things are you getting once a year?
Also, if we added up the cost of our products,
it would be disgusting.
Yeah. Because I'd be sickened.
Constantly buy things and change things and. I'm obsessed with, I'm just like such a product junkie.
And then I buy things and use them for the rest of my life.
Yes.
Although I've been making swaps. So we still have to come back to you guys and do an updated skincare routine for what we're using because Larissa changes hers like the weather.
Totally.
And I've swapped out absolutely everything that I was using during that episode for clean products. And I'm really excited to tell you about them. So we'll do the Markle Sparkle and then we'll do the crunchy sparkle.
So
not the same ring.
I'm curious, is there anything, I think you mentioned the Dior mascara. Is there anything that you are going to try off this list, even though I kind of poo-pooed all of it?
You didn't poo-poo all of it. There was a couple things that were okay. There were three. the Dior mascara is one that I've had on my list. And then a lot of these I have, but have gone out of rotation. Or I have other products of theirs, like Laura Mercier, for example, the Dior NARS are all things that I would give a go. But not really a ton of other things because I think often the green swaps that you've suggested they're comparable and they're cheaper and they're greener.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. Like, sometimes there really is a good swap. I think people have a really hard time with things like mascara.
Mm-hmm. ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's true. I think good mascara is hard to find, period. And then to, like, find something very specific that works for you with the right ingredients, like, you know, it's like the holy grail. But I think it's worth kind of, like, trying out some of the green swaps to just at least see, like, something works just as well, like,
why not?
All the better for it.
So I'm going to ask this question, even though I know the answer. Anything you're going to try?
Not off this list. Well, that's not true. So from your list, I definitely want to try the Kula.
Yes, SPF highly recommend.
Tinted moisturizer. And then I am interested in what that Tatcha exfoliating powder is like.
The rice enzyme.
Mm-hmm. So I would give that a go. But otherwise, unfortunately, no.
Just not the cleanest, but
no. And I, I can't, I know too much.
And some of the price points are a little bit high for, I think, what the products are. There's some things that I'm really willing to splurge on. Like if I find a really good cream or what's the word I'm looking for? Serum, like those things I'll splurge on, but something like a foundation for $135 just seems crazy to me.
Like I want to try it to understand what's the big fuss.
I've always said that about La Mer. I'm like, I should just try it. Like
my mom
so expensive.
Swears by La Mer. Like swears by it.
All right. Can we try some of hers? Can she give us a little sample?
No, she'll like fight you.
That's because it's Jillian,
$5 kajillion. Like you should see her use it. It's like she uses it and it looks like she's put nothing and she's like just dabbing it all over her face. And I'm like, you haven't used anything. She's like, it was just a little bit. Like
she's like putting hundreds of dollars on her face each dab
at a time.
Oh, that's so funny.
All right, guys. So Let us know what you'll be trying or won't be trying or maybe swapping out. We'll be so curious to hear it. And let us know your thoughts on all things royal wedding.
Yes. Are you in the super fan column like me? Or are you in the interested but not that interested column like Larissa?
Yeah, that puts it well. Of course, we'll link everything for you. The Markle Sparkle stuff, our recommendations in our show notes. You can find us at Crunchy Cocktail Hour on Facebook, on Instagram, wherever you like to follow. We can find our gorgeous drink. What was this called again?
Now I'm forgetting the Berioska or something.
That one. You can find that on Allison's blog, silverlinedandwine.com. And don't forget, we're on an every other week schedule, so we won't see you next Friday, but we'll see you the one after.
Bye, everyone.